Purpose Driven Mother Podcast, show number 5.
What's going on, Radiant Mothers? I am Alicia Askew, host of the Purpose Driven Mothers Podcast, where mothers are having the conversation not about trying to be the perfect mother, but embracing the woman who they are. Hear from the most courageous and inspiring mothers who share their story on how they went beyond the apron, discovered their purpose, and are achieving their greatest desires. Peeling off the layers of their most vulnerable moments and lessons learned, these mothers have found the drive that they need to help them thrive on their purpose-driven journey. So stay tuned and learn how you can become that purpose-driven mother.
Excited about our guest today, Miss Cache Prescott. One reason why I absolutely adore Cache, not only because she is a military spouse, and yes, the moms, the wives of military soldiers, they do serve as well, but because of what she stands for, the purpose behind her message. So Cache, she is the mid-career coach. What she does is she provides career coaching for mid-career professional women, empowering you to write the next chapter of your career success story. So as a mid-career professional, she understands the plight of her ambitious counterparts. And one thing that Cache did was that she turned her passion into her profession. So that's where she helps you with specializing in mid-career occupational transition, where she enables her clients to make strategically planned changes, including career reinvention, leaving or re-entering the workforce, job relocation, and exploring the world of entrepreneurship. So she does it all, from formulating effective career search campaigns to supercharging your professional brand. Cache truly is the career coach and consultant who brings purpose and clarity to your mid-stage career, so that hopefully you don't have to have that midlife crisis that everyone speaks about. So thank you so much, Cache, for joining me today. I am super excited about our conversation. So tell us, how did you even get started with this idea? Tell us your background and how your business came about.
Well, thank you so much for even having me and giving me the opportunity to speak with you and your audience today. I'm so excited about the conversation ahead, because purpose is really what kind of drives my own work, and you know, personally and professionally. So I'm just ready to jump in. But I guess my kind of why is really it started with the fact that I'm a military spouse, because, you know, as a military spouse, every time we move somewhere, I am tasked with the the project, because it felt like that, the project of kind of finding work every time we go somewhere. And I'm a very career-oriented person, and the places that we were ending up at had really, I guess, for lack of a better term, just less than ideal career opportunities. Or even in cases where I would actually find a job, you know, one case there were layoffs, so I lost my job in that capacity. Another case, it was just a temporary position that they never ended up really filling. Another case, the place closed, so it just seemed as if I could not win for losing. And
right,
I'm beginning to be so frustrated with the process and really annoyed with having to go through this every time we move. So I decided probably back in 2011 that I wanted to create my own portable career opportunity, something that we could travel with. So whenever we had to move, I still had it going. And, you know, in doing that, I figured I might as well be doing something that I really enjoyed doing. So at that time, I jumped into the world of virtual assistants, and I was doing HR administrative work for small businesses and some general admin work. And, you know, that was something I was really good at. But 2 years into it, I was still kind of feeling less than fulfilled by the work. You know, it was something I was doing that I liked, but I wasn't passionate about it. So in 2013, when I was pregnant with my third and final child, I decided to kind of take a break from business just to first try to enjoy what was left of the pregnancy, and then to also kind of do some serious soul searching to A, figure out if I still really wanted to be in business, you know, if that was really the path for me, and B, if so, figure out what that really looked like and should I continue doing what I was doing or do something else. So, like I said, it was some serious soul searching, praying and really putting in the work to kind of figure it out. That was one thing I hadn't done in my past. I wasn't willing to put in the work. I wanted a quick fix. But I kind of employed, you know, the things that I do with people now when I do coaching with them. I call it my discover, define, design process, where I went through the process of trying to, you know, really discover what it is that I was passionate about, defining what my ideal career looked like, and really, and then putting a plan in place to actually design what that was going to be. So it was something that had always been underneath my nose the whole time. I have always been a person that has loved all things related to people thriving in the workplace, career development, professional development, employee development. I was always the go-to person whenever someone had an interview or, you know, they needed help with the resume. I always helped, and, you know, I would volunteer in that same capacity. I volunteered for nonprofit organizations reviewing resumes and helping people with their interview process and career-oriented questions. So it was something I was always doing and never something I ever thought about getting paid for. And, you know, so then when it came to a place and space where I thought, well, why not me? You know, you go through that whole imposter syndrome of thinking, well, why would somebody pay you to do that? And they could just Google that information. They don't need you. But then, you know, I looked at everybody else that was the people that were thriving in their passions and the people that probably had the same thoughts in their mind, and they went for it, and I figured, why not me? And I haven't looked back since. I am so glad that I actually took the time to go through that process, and, you know, that brings us to, you know, our current time, and I'm still really enjoying people. You know, I say my purpose is helping other women find their purpose, and I love it, so.
And that is super awesome. And there's just so much that I want to touch on from that little bit that you had just said there. And I don't know if me being a military child, if that had something to do with me seeing the world in a certain way. But, of course, being a military child, I traveled around a lot. So I had watched my mother going from job to job every time we went to a new duty station. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why I did see that. It seemed like mothers would have to settle and just find whatever was the next job that came up that they could apply to because of the transition that they had to go from place to place. And I think that's one thing that I feared becoming a mother was that, oh, my goodness, even though I wasn't traveling a lot, but it just felt like I had to, you know, make sure that the family was taken care of first before I can even be happy or think about my dreams. And so that's, you know, one of the reasons why I went into what I went into. But I really love what you're doing, not only because your amazing track record, so you know what you're talking about, but also you help people with their career transition. And this can be either an entrepreneur role or something that is in the public or private sector. You know, not everyone wants to be a business owner. Not everyone is cut out to, you know, do the entrepreneurial role. So I think, you know, it's important that we do have, you know, a strong message out there that you can still live your purpose and still do it while you're working in a corporate setting or wherever.
Absolutely.
One thing that I think is interesting is because times are changing now. And before we would always have, you said you've seen employee development and interviews. And so I know for me, going to interviews, I was trying to have the perfect answer just so I can get that job. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of that, or you were able to see right through it. So are you able to kind of share as far as women who are trying to find their purpose, not just settling for the role that they're in now, but how can they actually look into what it is, their ideal life, their ideal career, and go after it without making up, oh, this is what I want to do?
Well, I definitely suggest that they really take the time to do the work. It's easy for you to go out there and kind of be fear-driven and look at job descriptions and say, oh, that's completely me, and apply for this job, and then you end up in that same exact position that you're in now being unhappy and feeling unfulfilled. So I say do the work. Really do some figuring out as to what it is that you really enjoy doing. What do you really like? What would you do even if you were never paid a day in your life to do it? And that's what career planning was for me. You know, for those many years that I had done it, nobody ever paid me for it, but I so enjoyed it. You know, I look for every opportunity to do it. And at that time, I had no clue, you know, I would eventually make that my vocation. But, you know, that was the thing that really stuck out to me. And when I asked other people, and this is what I highly suggest to other women, when I asked other people, what do you think I'm good at? Time and time again, it was that thing. It was, oh, you're great at resume writing. You are so great at career advice. You are so great at helping me prepare for interviews. It all came back to that same thing. And so I highly suggest that other women do the same thing. Ask the people that know you and know you well, you know, what is it that you think that I'm good at? Where do you think my skills lie? I even suggest, you know, going and looking online and looking for skills inventories just to see, you know, what your skill set is. Doing the personality tests that are online. You know, there are some paid ones, of course, but there are some free ones that will kind of give you an idea as to the type of work that you really do well in and thrive in and that you're at your best in, because some things you just may not ever even consider to be your strengths that are really the things that you should be jumping into. And journal. Write down your thoughts. Write down, you know, even in your current position, look at your job description and write down, you know, highlight the things that you really like doing. Mm-hmm. And then highlight the things that you're not so crazy about doing, and, you know, do them in two different colors. And just to kind of get a better idea as to what it is that you really enjoy. You know, what kind of projects have you thrived in and grown in and, you know, been your best at and things like that. So, again, do the work. Take the time to figure it out so you don't have to keep returning to this place and space of unhappiness.
I completely agree, because for me, I was definitely the person who was reading the job description. I was like, oh, well, I sound like I can do that job, so let me just apply, and if I get it,
Exactly. I have been that girl, and yes, technically, you can do it. You have the ability to do it. That's not the issue. But will you be happy doing it? That's the issue at hand. You know, just because you are good at something doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to be doing necessarily.
Yeah.
And in the same token, you know, I tell people to look at their hobbies to kind of get some kind of direction as to the things that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. But also, your hobbies may not necessarily be the direction for you to go in all the time, because, you know, when it moves from going from hobby to profession, sometimes it loses its luster. So just something for women to consider.
But I do want to talk about one thing.
Okay.
So branding is very key these days. Personal
Absolutely.
Branding, especially when you're going into a career, a work setting. So what is personal branding, and then how can you use that towards your purpose?
So personal branding, in a nutshell, is really the who you are, and what you do, what you have to offer kind of thing. It kind of hits on those three questions. And, you know, your personal brand extends from your social media, you know, the profiles that you put out there, you know, on your various platforms, you know, LinkedIn, your professional bio, your resume, the cover letter you use, even in your business, I guess your business writing, you know, even your emails back and forth with people, you know, your personal touch, your stamp on things that you put on things, your interview style. You know, personal branding extends to so many different directions, business cards, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, your website, things of that nature. So these are all things to be taken into consideration, because if someone is trying to get an idea as to who you are as a person, they need to be able to look at any one of these types of things or these pieces of information and get a clear idea as to, oh, this is who she is. This is what she does, and this is what she has to offer, whether, you know, it's you selling your services or your products, or you selling yourself as a professional. There needs to be standardization and consistency across all boards and across all platforms of your professional brand or personal brand.
Oh, my goodness, and I found it so exhausting when I was going through the process of resume writing, interviewing, because I was always changing who I was just for that job role. But in reality, it should be something that fits you, and the company should be a fit for you as well. So it has to work both ways. You can't just go to a company and they interview you. You have to interview them.
And I think that's what a lot of people forget. I feel like they think they have to put on this song and dance for the company. And to some degree, yes, you are selling yourself. I'm not going to say that you go in there and you have all the power, because that's not necessarily true. But it's a marriage of sorts. And you're kind of dating each other and courting each other to figure out if this is the right fit for you and if you want to move further beyond the interview. So as just as much as they need to learn about you, you need to learn about them. You need to learn about the company culture. You need to learn about who you're going to report to and their supervisory style, because it may be something that might be in conflict with, you know, your personal values or who you are as an employee. You might be a person that thrives on autonomy, but if you have somebody that might be more of a micromanager, that's not going to work out. You know, when we go into the workplace, we have both intrinsic and extrinsic motivators. You know, the motivators that come from within are the intrinsic ones. And then the motivators that come from outside of us, you know, the things that are in our workplace, you know, the recognition, the awards, the money, the people we work with, you know, those are things that you have to take into consideration, because they make or break your job satisfaction.
I like that. I am interested in an extreme makeover. What would that look like as far as a career?
Well, it just depends on, you know, what your given field is. You know, you can go from being a corporate, you know, such and such CEO, you know, C-suite type person, and jump into something completely different. You know, yoga instructor, you know, something like that. Just something you just like, okay, how in the world did that happen? But if that's where your passions lie, and that's where you think that you can be your best you and put your best foot forward, it's absolutely possible. But the person that goes, from such an extreme type thing also has to keep in mind, you know, some of the things that are going to change lifestyle-wise. You know, the money may not necessarily be the same. And so how does that affect your household? How does it affect, you know, maybe potential relationships within your household? You know, is your spouse okay with that if you're married, or your significant other? Are they okay with taking the pay cut if there is going to be one? You know, how will it affect, you know, how bills are being paid and, you know, what's coming in and what's going out, your lifestyle in general? Will you be able to travel as often as you once were able to do, or do you have to cut back on some things and not get as many mani-pedis, or, you know, visit the spa as much as you like, or you may have to pass up on that latte from Starbucks? You know, it just depends. But people need to keep, you know, it's great to have this idea of I'm going to, you know, follow my passion, but you really have to have a clear idea as to what that means and what that looks like for your life. And, you know, I always tell people you need to be able to make informed decisions. So, when I work with people, we sit down and write down a career strategy, you know, an exit plan, if that's what they really want to do, what that will look like, and really determine, are you okay with this? And then if they are, then, you know, move forward.
And I mean, there's been so many different people talking about the extreme career makeover. If I had, you know, pursued my original idea of what I wanted out of my life and then done this, it kind of would have been a, you know, extreme makeover. But why do you think so many people tend to stick it out and just be like, okay, I'm just going to stay here. I'm not going to do anything drastic.
Got it. Well, first and foremost, fear. The idea of change is very scary, and especially when it's a drastic change, it's just like, okay, I've been doing this for X amount of years. This is, they kind of form the identity of said whatever person. So if you're an HR professional and that's all you've ever done, you know, you've worked in HR in whatever capacity, and now you're thinking about owning your own dance studio or something like that, the prospect is scary because HR is all you've ever known. even though you're good at dancing and you're good at working with people and socializing and giving instruction in that capacity and done it voluntarily, the idea of trying to actually do that as your profession is just scary. And again, there's that imposter syndrome. It's just like, okay, why would somebody pay me to do that? You know, I'm good at dancing, but I'm not that great at it where I can be an instructor. And so that stops people all the time too. Then the sense of loyalty, I think, is a huge one. You know, when you've been somewhere for a long time, you really become a part of the family, you become a part of the team, and you sometimes think you're letting people down when you decide that you're ready to do something new. You think that, you know, they're that dependent on you and you alone that, you know, the whole business will fall apart if you happen to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, that's not going to be the case. They might miss you because you may very well be a great employee and great at what you do, but they will survive and they will be okay. Mm-hmm. So I think those are a few of the big reasons, but fear is usually the driving factor. And
right.
I tell people, you know, myself included, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and step outside of your comfort zone and, you know, dibble and dabble and do things that to push yourself, because you just never know what will come out of it. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, but you have to at least be willing to take the chance to see.
And I think that's why it's really great that you actually take the time to have that strategic and planned out exit strategy.
Yes.
Because for me, I mean, I'm not going to regret the decision that I did. I just jumped. I didn't look back. I didn't look forward. I was like, this is it. I'm jumping. But just for you having that exit strategy, it kind of makes that process a little more realistic, a little more smooth for whoever is ready to take that move, but the fear is kind of holding them back.
Yes, I jumped. I leapt. And, looking back on it, I wish I had an exit strategy because there are some things that I could have definitely avoided in the process had I had a plan in place. But that's another reason I kind of put it into my coaching, because I think it's such a vital thing. You need to have a plan, especially when your plans affect other people. And for a lot of mid-career women, you know, a lot of women are married or involved in relationships, have children. So it's not just them that their plans affect. It affects other people. So you have to have a plan when it comes to other people's lives.
And there is so much talk about freelancing. So would you consider that as like a segue? If someone was like me, I was up to my wits and I could not stay at that job another day. So for a transition, what are some things that people can do?
I definitely think that freelancing is a good way to dip your feet in the pool and see if you're really interested in what it is that you're doing. So, for instance, if you like to write and you think that's something you might want to pursue full-time at some point in time, start off by freelancing. You know, start off by guest blogging or start your own blog and see how committed you are to blogging for yourself. Then do some guest posts for other blogs and see how that goes for you. Also, you know, serve as a contributing writer to, you know, other sites online, you know, in your particular industry of interest. And once you see how you like that and see if you're really committed to it, then you can decide whether or not you may want to take the plunge or not. But, you know, it's a good way to dip your feet in the pool. Another way I think that women or people in general can kind of test the waters is the virtual assistant's name. That's how I did it. I was working full-time when I decided that I was going to test the waters. And I was doing, you know, I worked full-time during the day, and in the evening I would do the HR admin type stuff for small businesses just to kind of see, okay, do I like this or is this something that, you know, I'm going to be over in a few months? And I wasn't over in a few months and I really enjoyed it. And so I started getting involved with organizations like for virtual assistants. They have the International Virtual Assistants Association, or IVAA. And so I joined that and started joining in on the conversations and getting to know people. And that's where I got some of my clients as well. But, you know, I just, you know, put myself in a situation where I got to know more about the field and learn more about the people that worked in the field and became more connected, and that was very helpful. So I definitely suggest talking to people that are in your anticipated area of interest, you know, getting on LinkedIn and joining LinkedIn groups and asking questions. That's what those groups are there for. Mm-hmm. Getting on Google Plus and joining the communities and asking questions. You know, always put yourself in a position where you're making an informed decision. You just don't jump into something blindly and have to go through mistakes. And, you know, you learn from your mistakes in general. So I'm not saying you won't ever make any, but there are some things you can avoid when you ask questions first before leaving.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about there's still not a lot of women at the top, at executive level positions. Why do you think that is, and what do you think we can do to increase our numbers there?
I think in general, because of we have what I guess what we call kind of like the double shift or the second shift when it comes to women. I'm sorry. So we work full time during the day, and then when we come home, we start our second shift, you know, life with our families and, you know, the commands and demands that of our children and the household and things of that nature. And so that can be a bit overwhelming at times. It can also serve as a hindrance to, you know, if you are trying to take a shot at the C-suites type positions. Some companies are better than others, and they promote the whole work-life balance thing, and they give you opportunities to grow, you know, with the flex time and telecommuting and things of that nature. But then there are some other companies that don't, and they treat the women, you know, they're just like, okay, well, this is your job, and I understand that you have these other obligations outside of the workplace, but, you know, that's your obligation. It's not our obligation. And so it leaves women in a place of having to choose between their jobs or their homes and their lives. And so a lot of women decide that, you know, they'd rather cater to their lives and their children and their husbands and spouses or whomever it is rather than be consumed by work. And I think it's unfortunate that that's the case, but, you know, it definitely happens. You know, it's not something that's talked about all the time, but it happens. But I think that now women have more options. Like I said, you know, there is the flex schedule. There's telecommuting. Women can kind of go in and have conversations more often than they were able to do back in the past. And I encourage women to have those conversations because you shouldn't have to necessarily choose between the two. Mm-hmm. It can be very effective in the workplace as well as they can at home, but they have to be given the opportunity to do so. And sometimes, you know, your superiors, they may not be aware of the circumstances. And if you're valuable enough to the organization, they're going to be willing to kind of work with you to make you happy so you can make them happy. So I just encourage women to be willing to have the conversations and really stand up for themselves and, you know, ask for what they should have. Ask for what they should get because, you know, if you're giving your best, they should at least be willing to entertain your conversation. And if they're not, you may want to question whether that's the right place for you to be at in general.
Right. Yeah, that is so true. And I had made that little joke in the opening about midlife crisis. But a lot of the midlife crisis does come from being unfulfilled. You're like, whoa, I'm at this age and I haven't done anything. You know, where did the time go?
Mm-hmm.
So what is one of the things, especially relating to career, that can kind of ease that midlife crisis so, you know, they can feel like they're actually doing something worthwhile or meaningful or purposeful?
Well, I think it can start with something as simple as volunteering. just getting away from the workplace in general and volunteering and doing the type of work that you love to do. Mm-hmm. And when you volunteer that capacity, it can kind of make you feel good about, you know, what you're doing for someone else. But it can also kind of give you direction as to, okay, maybe it is time for that change. You may not be in a place and space where you're thinking it's time, but just stepping away from it and doing something else may point you in that direction. if you're in your workplace, you can kind of switch things up. You don't necessarily have, it doesn't have to be as drastic as a career reinvention. It could just be as simple as having a change of scenery, a change of location, you know, changing your office, changing departments, working with a different team, taking on more responsibility, heading a project, spicing it up a bit, you know, or maybe you want to do the same kind of work, but you want to do it somewhere else. You know, you may want to move from the West Coast to the East Coast or vice versa, but you need to explore your options to just spice it up for yourself.
And I really do love what you said just about volunteering and how you kind of explained it. You went into more details because when you hear volunteering, you're thinking, oh, now I got to go to a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter.
Exactly.
But no, you can volunteer in your job role. You can volunteer with different organizations or
Absolutely.
Do something completely different that's in line with, like you said, your hobby or something that you feel within inside of you that seems right. And it volunteering kind of automatically has like some, it releases like endorphins or some happy pill. So, you know, you get that good feeling within you.
Exactly.
But you have provided so much valuable information. And I know that you have so much more to share. I see so many different things on your website that can help women and just anyone in general with their career transition. So how can they find out more about you, get in contact with you, and what you're doing?
Well, people can definitely visit my website. It's CacheaPrescott.com. And feel free to email me. I'm not one of those people that are, you know, standoffish and don't respond to emails. So feel free to email me at Cache. At CacheaPrescott.com. And, I'm definitely open to conversation and just to see if I'm the best person to help you. I understand that, again, our coaching relationship is like a marriage, you know. We have to kind of get a feel for each other and figure out if I'm the best fit for you, the best coach for you, and you're the best client for me, and figure out, if, you know, what your needs are and what direction we need to point you in. I offer free 30-minute consultations. I definitely welcome people to just at least have the conversation. A conversation doesn't hurt at all. So
that is awesome. Well, I thank you so much for just all the valuable information that you have provided to Cache. And I will have all of her details in the show notes. So if you missed anything, you can check it out there.
All right. So there you have it. Cache has provided such valuable information about how to make the right decisions for your next career move. So whether you're in a career transition or you need a complete exit strategy so that you can have that extreme career makeover, Cache will definitely be able to guide you with the proper tools so that you can have a smooth and easy transition. And if you are feeling like you're just stuck in a rut, like you're in a dead-end job, then go over to my website where I have set up this free assessment for you called Unleashing Your Design Purpose. This assessment will give you the clarity that you need so that you can walk purposefully in your golden light. So until next time, stay radiant and let your light shine.